Oh, hey, Sam. How do, my dude?
I do good, man. How are you?
I do.
Spark up, mate. What are you doing?
It's been a while. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Has it?
I don't know what you're talking about. We do a podcast every week without fail.
I feel like we don't, but we definitely do. We have it on record. And this certainly hasn't become a pattern for us that has recently been pointed out to me. August is our worst month,
like, consistently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joke's on you, suckers. September's the new bad month. Let's go.
Excellent.
You want some tweets?
Nah, but let's do them.
All right. Well, the first two are complaints about our podcast. So
perfect.
All right. They're at AussieMonkey95.
Okay.
Old mate Matt says.
So they're in the priority bucket, are they?
Oh, yep. Matt says, you know what I miss? Bob's Mowgli tweets. You know what I miss more? Weekly episodes, you lazy shits.
I don't know what you're talking about, Matt. We've been releasing every.
I was going to say, I don't know why you're missing. Maybe you should update your podcatching app.
We only release in August. We do 52 episodes and we release them all in August.
Every single one. There's a podcast.
Can we do
more
that for
than
next
one,
year?
What, do more than one podcast a day?
No, 52 episodes. So we do one a week, but we just release them all in August.
In August.
And yeah, just release more than one a day for August. For the lols. No one's listening. Who gives a
So just we're recording every week, but only releasing in August. Just for the meme.
And if you want them on time, you got to join the Patreon.
Tweet us at Videoshop Pod and what Patreon? Tweet us at the Patreon.
Yeah, that's a point.
So in order to subscribe to our Patreon, just put $20 in an envelope and send it to the Videoshop street at the Videoshop, the suburb.
Just put on the envelope, my local Videoshop. And just send him $20.
Also, don't send money in the post. Another tweet from AussieMonkey says, also, I demand a season 2 of Adventures of Sam and Cal. You can't just end it on a cliffhanger like that.
How do you think season 2 is going to end, my dude? It's just a different cliff that we're hanging off, man.
I'm sure Bob's going to wrap it up and not leave you wanting more. I'm sure Bob will make a satisfying conclusion.
Using the cliff as a metaphor, it's going to be a whole season of us, like, edging our way around the cliff. Like, just hand over hand. Like, no one's ever getting back up off the cliff. That's just where we live now.
Look, Matt, we do want to do another Adventures of Sam and Cal. It's on the cards. See how we go.
I blame Bob.
I also blame Bob for making such a stellar adventure. Piece of shit.
How dare he make such a high quality product at such a reasonable price?
I know. Free. We got a tweet from Riley is good. Riley says, movies you should have seen if you haven't already. RRR, Excellent. Nope, Top Gun Maverick and Kimmy. Of those, I've only seen Nope.
And I haven't even heard of anything else besides Top Gun Maverick.
I was going to say, not Top Gun Maverick? That's not on your radar at all?
No.
It's because he's flying too low.
I mean, it shouldn't be. Apparently it was quite good.
I'm sure that piece of military propaganda was good, Cal. But I'm not getting sucked in, boy.
Sam, everything's military propaganda. You tried buying a Pop-Tart lately? You have to reload those things.
I believe you. I've also heard Top Gun was excellent. I'm not a big fan of the first one, if I'm honest, so I don't know.
But I still haven't seen it. I think every time we mention it on the podcast, I tell this story, but I was on the Die Side episode for it, and I didn't watch it, but I knew that they played volleyball at the beginning, so I made a volleyball game.
Uh-huh. About a plane movie.
Yeah, because they play volleyball at the start of the plane movie, so I made a game where you played volleyball with cards.
I assume they didn't make that one.
No.
Dice Hard. No.
I think it was pretty simple. It was basically like you have a bunch of cards that either are like dig, set, and spike, and then a whole bunch of other cards that just swap cards with other people. So you have to have, like, you have to play on your turn dig, set, and spike, and every turn you have to play two cards. I think is how it worked. So you have to play at least two cards. So the idea was that you, if you,
I
if
don't
you can't,
care. Cal,
make
shut up.
Dixit and Spike shut in
up.
One turn.
Cal, shut the fuck
you,
up.
You don't I get don't, the point.
That's cool. the rest of Riley's tweet says, movies that are worth checking out, but if you missed it, that's kind of fine. The Sadness, Glorious, Duel, Mad God, and Fresh. I did see
Where
Fresh.
Where do you hear about these things, Riley? I've never heard of any of these movies.
Fresh was on Disney Plus. It's the Sebastian Stan movie.
Okay.
You should watch it. I actually really liked it. It's, okay. Yeah, it's kind of like a... I kind of don't want to tell you anything about it, because I think as it unravels, it's more interesting. If you don't know anything about it. But it's kind of like a... It's a thriller, I guess. It's Fair worth enough. Checking out. Sebastian Stan is great, and,
he is good.
And it's, got... Daisy Edgar Jones.
Okay.
The other character is the main character.
I don't know who that is.
You would probably recognize stuff. She was in Where the Crawdads Sing, which has been super popular.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I've only heard about it in that it's apparently super popular.
Yeah. Riley's next tweet says, I think it's been a pretty banger year for movies. I'd say only the bottom six on my list are actually dog shit, but there's been so much that rules. And I kind of agree, to be honest.
Look, because it feels like we haven't done an episode in so long, I feel like all I've seen this year is Marvel shit. And quite frankly, none of it's really flimmed my flams.
But that's because you have short memory and your brain doesn't work no more.
Yeah, that's pretty much accurate. I've been sniffing so much glue.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying we had Prey, we had Nope, we had the Batman, we had the Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, we had Everything yep. Everywhere All at Once, yep. We had X, which was pretty good, we had the new Scream, which I really liked. I'm just reading off Riley's list now. But I do want to address the bottom six movies on Riley's list. Coming in at the sixth worst movie Riley saw this year was Jurassic World Dominion. Yep. Poo.
That's accurate.
Next one, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, fifth from the bottom. Oof. Terrible. Now, this one surprised me. The Adam Project, I heard good things about, but Riley's put it low, so I don't know. Did you watch The Adam Project?
Fuck no.
All right.
I saw a tile for it on Netflix today.
That's the
first I'd heard of it.
Then the third worst is Secrets of Dumbledore, which I believe I didn't watch it because I don't hate myself. Then the second from the bottom is The Hating Game, which is based on a very popular book, which I've got on my shelf over there. You want to know something terrible about why I own that book, Cal?
Sure.
I bought it because it was the last copy we had that didn't have now a Netflix movie, like, on it. Because they don't put stickers on anymore.
It's all just printed on because stickers are more expensive.
Madness.
Absolute madness. What shits me about that, though? Like, because I'm a fucking intellectual who doesn't actually read books, I only listen to audiobooks. And like, when you buy an audiobook, you can't change what the cover is. So if the audiobook cover has those fucking stickers on it, you can't take them off. And if you get the one that has Brad Pitt on the front of it because he was in the fucking movie, even though the movie has nothing to do with the book, you still gotta have the Brad Pitt one and not World War Z's proper cover, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, make that happen, Jeff. That's all I want.
Anyway, Riley's worst movie on this list was Morbius.
look. Like,
very
Morbius
fair.
Wasn't good by any stretch of the imagination.
I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre was worse than all of those, though.
Because Jurassic World Dominion wasn't even that bad. Like, it was a bad movie, and it was... But, like, at least I could have, like, taken a 30-second clip of that and gone, hey, that's pretty cool.
I think it does, though, talk... Like, the fact that the worst six on Riley's list being bad, but not... Well, except for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the worst movies I've ever seen, is actually a testament to Riley's point that it's been a pretty good year for movies.
Yeah, no, that is a very good point. I think I'm cold on it at the moment because I've been cold on the hobby in general. Like, I just haven't watched all that much stuff that's new anyway. But yeah, this has been a really good year.
It's been a quieter back year, I think. But also, you say you like cold on the Marvel stuff. I thought Multiverse of Madness was great. I know Thor Love and Thunder I didn't love. I just thought it was a pretty good Marvel movie, which is like, I guess it's pretty much the standard for a lot of the Marvel stuff. But I think for movies, it's been a really great year.
Fair enough. I think you're probably right there. I just, I'm cold at the moment because nothing's warmed me up lately.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you have a short memory because your brain don't work.
Yeah, correct.
And Riley's last tweet says, lot of good and probably bad spooky stuff coming soon too, because it's spooky time soon, Cal. Bodies, Crimes of the Future, which I haven't heard of, Smile, Halloween in brackets, Dies Tonight, Ends. Oh, fuck, I hope Halloween dies tonight, forever, never, oh.
Dude. Like, I...
it's bad.
I don't know.
A new Hellraiser movie with Jeremy Clayton, and last but very much least, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah, I get it for the meme, but who the fuck actually wants to see that? Like, who thinks that's actually a good idea?
I don't know, man.
And, like... fuck, what was I going to say? I was going to say something about the last thing that was said. Doesn't matter. Oh, Halloween. Yeah. Am I alone in the opinion that all of those movies from that era were bad? That all those slashes are just not very good?
Like the Halloweens and that?
Yeah, the Halloweens, the Friday the 13th, the fucking... like, Nightmare on Elm Street's the only, like, different one.
I think there's a lot of good in there. And there's a lot of creativity. It wildly varies with quality.
Mm.
That's the main thing. Like, even Nightmare on Elm Street stems from some of the best slashes to some of the worst slashes you've ever seen. And without all those, without Friday the 13th, we wouldn't have the derivative slasher exploitation film, Babysitter's Club. No, that's the book.
The Babysitter?
The Slumber Party Massacre.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, yeah.
Those are all the tweets.
I'm not disappointed I live in a world where they exist. I'm just disappointed in everyone who fucking loves them, because I think they might all be bad.
I think you're bad.
That's fair enough. You're bad enough.
I like a slasher, and I thought the new Scream movie was good.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, there's a reason we didn't do it on this podcast, because I wanted to preserve our friendship.
Because Sam is so actually, like, adamant that it's a good franchise that he would be so genuinely offended by me saying that's a bit of a wank.
Yeah, you're a bit of a wank. Crack on with the show.
Okay, that's it. We're done with tweets.
Yeah, because I'll get mad if you keep talking. No, but actually, that's the end of the tweets. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. In that case, play the music. Shop podcast about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your other host, Sam, and today we're doing whatever we feel like for however long we feel like it. D23, maybe, just a general discussion about new stuff we're watching, whatever. We're doing whatever.
Strap yourself in and feel the G's.
You can't stop us. I mean, you could literally press pause on this audio you're listening to. Oh, you just tried to hit pause? We've hacked your phone. You can't do it. You're going to play this forever.
There's nothing wrong with your podcatcher. Do not attempt to adjust your mobile phone.
Shall we talk a little bit about...
We have taken over the transmission!
Shall we talk a little bit about the somewhat lackluster D23 announcements?
No, that's it. We're done for the episode. Night, everybody.
Okay, I'm honestly fine with that.
Nah, go on. What even happened? Because I feel like it just all fell out of my head immediately. I'm going to pull up that list you sent me.
There was just so much. I'm going to run through it, so you don't need to. There's just so much of the stuff I was actually excited to see happen behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And they haven't released it. So we didn't get an Indiana Jones trailer. We didn't get... there was Avatar trailers. There was a bunch of... There was footage for the Marvels. There was footage for another one. And I'm sure we'll get all that soon enough. But that was the stuff I was super keen on. So to not have that... I was also excited to maybe get some details on the next Star Wars movie that we're going to get.
Yep.
None of that. At least nothing I saw. Maybe it fell down the wayside. There were some trailers, and there are a couple of projects that I'm excited about that were not the ones I expected to be the ones that came out of D23 that actually got me excited. But we can quickly run through these. So the first trailer we have on the list that we is Secret Invasion. Did you watch the trailer okay. for Secret Invasion, Cal?
I did. And I don't know whether I just like missed any of the like bits that are meant to be exciting, but it didn't excite me all that much.
I'm pretty keen on it. I mean, it's Nick Fury. They're working with Ben Mendelsohn. There's a Skrull invasion. I'm keen on all that. It feels like a return to the, which is why you probably are not as, I don't know. I don't remember where you sit on like the thriller stuff in the MCU, but it feels like a return to the Winter Soldier kind of stuff.
Yeah, I did get some Winter Soldier vibes,
which I'm vibing. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, no, I am too. Like, I'm not like disappointed by this, but it didn't really make me go, oh fuck, that actually looks like a really cool idea. And because I think part of that is all going to be like, because the main hook there is who's the Skrull.
Yeah.
So like, you can't actually reveal any of that in a trailer, so there's just a bunch of people and who look like people who could be people that are people, but they might not be the people who are people.
And if they did, you'd be pissed. So yeah,
correct. So like, so you can't show it in a trailer properly.
Yeah, which is why like the Winter Soldier trailers were like, okay, it's another Captain America movie. It's action. It's fun. And then the reveal of Hydra in the movie was fucking unreal. Like that's still one of the best MCU twists. Right? Mm. I think people kind of forget how, like, mind-blowing that twist was at the time. At least it was for me.
Like, because the thing about that is that it should have been, and then we saw absolutely no consequences of it. Like, I know that's an exaggeration. There were tiebacks to it, but it wasn't as earth-shattering as they made it out to be.
Well, I think the problem was Age of Ultron. Is just like, and Nick Fury's back and he's got the helicarrier again, baby.
Yeah, they just had to undo everything by like the next movie.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I think Age of Ultron was the problem child there. And they kind of, yeah. Because they were like, we're doing Ultron, they dropped the Hydra subplot straight up instead of having it built into the Ultra plot, maybe. The Ultron plot. Anyway, we can't go down.
This is a rabbit hole, we can't go down, yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm pretty keen on Secret Invasion. Do you have anything else to say? Like you said, like the trailer kind of made me keen. It was cool that they've, you know, we got to see a bunch of the characters who are going to be in it. But all of those were kind of announced. That's the thing. There was also like one of the big announcements that I saw them post on the Facebook for Marvel was Don Cheadle will return as War Machine in Armor Wars. And I'm like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, yeah, you told us that already.
But, like, you didn't, like, is this just, a reconfirmation because you didn't bring it up at Comic-Con?
Because we're worried you're gonna recast him again?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to
maybe they'll bring him back. As if they don't bring, what's his name, Terrence Howard?
Yes.
As if they don't bring him back in Secret Wars as a multiverse version of War Machine. Sure.
I mean, that would be great. Do you think the Skrulls are just Skrulls from another universe?
I think they're probably an evil faction of Skrulls. But you could have a multiversal Skrulls. But what I liked about the Winter Soldier is it didn't deal with the super sci-fi stuff. Well, not sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's shape-shifting aliens, but...
Well, and those
I'm fucking... referring to, like, they didn't deal with the Infinity Stone stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I'd be like, happy if this doesn't...
definitely had sci-fi, like, masks and shit.
Yeah, of course.
That make you look like any politician you want, get you into the fucking Pentagon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm perfectly happy for this to not touch the multiversal arc of this phase and, you know, affect the core of the world more instead.
Look, that is a thing that should never have been... I know everyone's got this take on that face mask stuff. But that really makes Skrulls a bit redundant, doesn't it?
Well, no, because that was just the only one and she used it. That was her one-time thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. That never comes up again.
She got it from an elf that was like, use this.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Are you up to date with She-Hulk?
The up to date. Yeah, I think so. There's not a new one yet. Yeah, yeah, I'm up to date.
Yeah, so you've seen the light elf that transformed into...
Oh, yes, so fucking funny.
Megan Thee Stallion. Yeah, very funny. It's a Skrull, though, isn't it?
and they
openly live on Earth. And in fact, it seems like the transformation is quicker and easier.
Well, they said it's from... They said it's an elf from Asgard.
Yeah.
So I think it's an alien. Well, as if Skrulls aren't alien. I don't know, man.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, an alien invasion of Skrulls, one thing. That's fine. They already live amongst us, and they can transform at will to be anybody that we want. That's just as much of an existential threat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like... I mean, I guess the idea is that this one's, like, not actually doing anything with those powers besides scamming that guy out of $175,000 he dues.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Should we talk about the next trailer for 20 seconds and then get sidetracked?
Yeah, excellent. Let's go.
Tales of the Jedi is the next Dave Filoni animated show.
Okay. I think this is... Plus. I don't think I did watch the trailer for this one,
right,
because
so when
I have not seen any of those.
So when I
shows.
Sent you all the trailers and said watch these, and you told me I've watched all of those, you lied to me because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, that and I haven't watched any of these TV shows, so it doesn't really mean anything to me.
Well, it probably would have, because the Tales of the Jedi is going to be a couple of mini story arcs set in different eras.
Right.
It's not like it's not like the Bad Batch or the Clone Wars, where it's this overarching thing. One of the subplots is going to be Ahsoka immediately after Order 66, after the events we see in spoilers, the Clone Wars.
Nice. Okay.
Which is interesting, but I'm way more excited for the other arc, which is young Count Dooku with his Padawan Qui-Gon Jinn in like the early stages of him like. Becoming, you know, the Dooku we see in the movies.
I mean, that is pretty cool. I didn't know Dooku was Qui-Gon's master. That's pretty sick.
There's a line in the movie where Dooku's all like, "You forget, Qui-Gon, that he was once I was once his master, as he was once yours." I nailed it.
First try, zero
deaths. I hate sand. It's cold. Yeah, so I think there was another plot line, but those are the main two, and the Dooku one I'm very excited for is set pre the Phantom Menace, which is a completely unexplored era, and I've been saying for ages, if we're going to do another animated show, make it set in that era, make it about Anakin being trained by Obi-Wan between Phantom Menace and, like, Attack of the Clones. Like, that, I'm done with the Episode 3 and Episode 4. I don't care about the Bad Batch. I'm sorry if you're a fan of it. It's boring. I don't care. That era is so done to death. And I know Andor's also going to be that. Oh, and there was also a trailer for Andor, but I didn't link you it because I didn't watch it. Because we've already got trailers for Andor. I'm not going to watch another one.
Yeah, I have seen that. And it looks a bit like what if Rogue One got a TV show. And it's like, that's cool because Rogue One was all right. But again, man, they're doing so little to make me give a fuck about Star Wars. And I don't know what they could do at this point. I don't know.
I love Star Wars, as you know. I'm more invested in the new Star Trek shows at the moment. They look better, they're more interesting, and they're also worse. Like, Star Trek Picard, I've said it on this podcast before, is fucking terrible and some of the worst television I've ever had the displeasure of watching. But that's almost better than the boredom I experienced watching The Bad Batch.
So can I go on a brief... tangent while we're talking about Star Trek Picard.
Yes.
So I, for some reason, decided I'm going to start watching Next Generation.
And you didn't tell me because I would get very excited. I understand.
Yeah. So I just before myself, this episode, yeah. I finished watching the first episode of Next Generation, the
oh,
first
fuck.
Two-parter.
It's so fucking bad.
It's so bad, isn't it?
Cal, it's so bad.
Who thought that was a good way to start a series?
All right, I'm going to say something, and it's not going to encourage you to watch it. You can almost just skip to season two. Because season one is... it'd be worth going back and watching season one, but it's got a little bit of the original series about it. It's very, like, episode 2, spoilers, I'm pretty sure it's episode 2. Like, the crew gets infected with, like, a horniness, like, thing, and everyone just starts fucking.
Okay, so I watched episode 2 and then just skipped to season 2.
Yeah, but you don't get the fucking, Cal. It's not like it's just an episode of Star Trek porn. It's just everyone starts acting like teenagers. I don't know.
Annoying.
They're
except
campy.
For Wesley, is that the joke?
Probably, yeah. Look,
I hate him already.
I bad mouthed season 1 of Wesley's alright. He has his moments.
I'm sure he does, but so far it's like, my name's Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I'm a perfect specimen of a man. Except I kind of don't like children, and you can tell that that's the arc we're trying to do right now.
The first season of Next Generation, I've been very mean to here, and I'm sorry. The first season of Next Generation. It
don't
just
be sorry.
Takes that season to find its footing. And season two is an season two is where it's improved. And then season three onwards is some of the best science fiction TV ever written, right? Mm. Like,
I think
and I know,
season three is the one with the probe where he lives the whole life in the probe and learns to play the flute.
The inner.
Which
the
is
inner.
Apparently the best episode of Star Trek ever made.
I dispute that. It's a great episode. My personal favorite is an episode called Tapestry. Mm-hmm. But it's also like a Picard out of body kind of experience episode.
Yeah, one where you get
it also
like full on performance from
and
from Patrick Stewart.
The only thing, it's good you've watched the pilot because you do really need the setup for Q. But then I could probably give
Q
you a
returns.
Oh mate, maybe you
I
just
fucking hate Q so much.
Cal,
Sam,
you'll love him. You will.
Look, because I really fucking hate him so far.
Yeah.
Is it just because that episode is a horrendous episode to start a season?
It's just bad. Everything about it's bad. Pretty much everything about it is bad. Q as a character they refine, but he is a returning character. But they do refine him, and as his relationship with Picard evolves through the show, you've got me on a massive tangent now. I just want to quickly look at an episode guide to remind myself of season one. Because I'm pretty sure...
We are at the half hour mark. We should...
Sorry, it's not horny. They get symptoms similar to alcohol intoxication. And then they all get horny and start fucking.
Right, okay.
Where no one has gone before is fucking terrible. That's episode 6. Justice is bad. Hide and Q's pretty bad. I'm just seeing if there are any, like, essential episodes. Measure of a Man is also a lot of people's favorite, and that one is really good.
Fair enough.
I
feel like this is absolutely an off-air conversation at this point. But I did just want to, like, bring it up that is what I have been doing partly with my non-recording time.
I think you should watch the last episode of season 1. I think you should... you probably should watch episode 23, too. Episode 23, the last episode of season 1, and then go season 2 from there. Unless you want to watch all of it, then go for it. I know a lot of Star Trek fans will say I'm absolutely wrong for saying this. But I got into Star Trek The Next Generation by watching all the great episodes. Like, I as a kid had DVD box sets that were like, the best of the Borg, the best of time travel. And those were the stories I saw first.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with the show, and then I watched all of it.
Fair enough. That does make some sense.
It's
and
up
that,
to you
that's
how you
essentially do what I've done. Like, the episodes that I have seen are...
The good ones,
a couple of the good ones, and then started from episode 1.
I think maybe you'd be all right watching season 1, and now that I've tempered your expectations. To be clear,
when
I say you need to watch episode 23, it's just for context. It's not a good episode. In fact, it's hilariously bad.
Excellent.
Just maybe go into season 1 expecting camp nonsense. And
I do like camp nonsense.
And just expect that for the first season. And then season 2, expect that better sci-fi shit to come in.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway,
we should move on.
Speaking of, the Mandalorian Season 3 trailer happened.
Yep.
Honestly, Babu Frake was in it. That was probably the only surprise appearance.
I know who that is.
From Rise of Skywalker, he's the little guy that says, Babu Frake! And then he killed C-3PO.
Sam. Oh my god. Oh my god. I've never had such a vacuum of fucks to give. Like, I've never had such an empty space.
You've never had so few fucks to give.
Like, I've always cared at least about it, like... on some level, like, I've been, like, at least upset to hear that news. I've never had such a void of emotion.
Look, I...
at the concept that that character's back.
I will... I don't care that he's back, but I'm like, that was the only thing that surprised me. I want to be excited for this, but I will say Boba Fett has tempered my excitement a little bit.
Because, yeah, that... And, look, I don't think Mando Season 2 was as good as Season 1.
I think it was... I think in a lot of ways it was just as good. I think the end wasn't as good. I know this is controversial, but I think Luke Skywalker's addition was bad.
Yeah, I think that was a bad move.
We don't need to talk about The Mandalorian. We will talk about it again. Werewolf by Night. Actually,
this looks
awesome.
This looks pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely the most interesting thing that's come out of this so far.
I love werewolves.
I love London. I love Werewolves of London. I love American Werewolf in London.
Correct. No, and I hope it's black and white. Like, I hope that wasn't just a trailer thing.
Surely not.
You wouldn't think so, but I don't know. I just have a bad feeling. I saw a lot of people complaining. They're like, I just can't get invested in things that are black and white. I'm like, what?
Shut the fuck up.
The funniest thing was, it was a comment on the internet with a guy whose thumbnail, get this, was in black and white.
Yeah. I mean...
Bruh.
You're not supposed to get invested in your own thumbnail, so maybe, but...
Still.
I don't know. It's just... I just don't understand why that would be a problem.
Surely
you're smart enough to know what colour most things are.
Well, and what I really like... I think, obviously, not all movies should be in black and white. Colour is great. But I do think there is something special about the use of contrast in black and white that you don't often get in colour films, because you don't need to. But also, yeah. I think maybe the use of, like, shadow and colour in that trailer was so surprising to me because of the lack of the use of, like, light and colour in so many of these, like, Marvel and Star Wars properties at the moment. I was talking to Brianne about this the other day, and I hate to bring up Star Trek again, and I've said it on this podcast before, but Star Trek Strange New Worlds is shot, it's lit, it has practical built sets, and it just looks better because of that, the cinematography, than Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is shot on a big screen, and that technology's awesome, it's cool, but it's flat. The world feels flat, the characters look flat, there's nothing interesting in the lighting.
Yeah, and look, I think that that's partly
a fault
of that show, that, like, Mando Season 1 was shot that way and it didn't look that bad. Like, it didn't look that flat.
Maybe, but Book of Boba Fett's the same. I think Season 2 of Mando... Like, the problem is, and it's noticeable, I say it's very noticeable when watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds in particular, because that show really does look great, is just a scene of people talking... That's where you look for the difference. Because action scenes are always more interesting. They're not shot by directors. They're shot by stunt teams. And, you know, they know how to shoot action or whatever. And this is not necessarily the director's fault either. You know, a lot of directors bring their vision to them. But they're also limited by the technology they're filming with. And the cinematographers they have. Not that I know any of these cinematographers, like, I don't want to bash it too hard, but I think there's also just an element of how quickly they have to knock these things out. So things like talking scenes, you're like, yeah, it's a cross-reverse shot with flat lighting. Whereas in Star Trek Strange New Worlds, there's multiple conversations had while, you know, interesting shots of food, because they make Captain Pike like a chef. He cooks to like entertain. And it's just more dynamic than anything in Obi-Wan or Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is a directing decision. But again, that, you know, you obviously don't have Obi-Wan preparing a meal on a wooden chopping board, but you know, the Star Wars equivalent.
Yeah, totally.
You have him milking something.
And drinking the milk straight from the bottle. Well, it looks in the straight camera like, from... I got paid for this. This is your childhood.
I still love The Last Jedi. anyway, should we move on? Werewolf by Night looks great. I'm very excited for what it could be, because I'm intrigued. And apparently in the shot, there's like a shot of Man-Thing in it, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't know very much about Man-Thing.
It's basically Marvel's Swamp Thing.
Well, yeah, but I don't think necessarily that they have that much in common as far as, like, as besides character design. I don't know for sure. I don't know that much about, like, I know a little bit about Swamp Thing. I don't know anything about Man Thing.
Yeah, but I'm keen. I wonder how much it's going to tie into the MCU. Is it connected? Is it not? I just know, or is it like half connected? Like it happened in the world, but it doesn't matter, you know? It's also just a Disney Plus original. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm very interested in seeing what this turns out to be. And that excites me.
Yeah, fair enough.
The Little Mermaid. Did you see the teaser for The Little Mermaid?
I did. I guess it looks as good as I expect these live-action Disney Princess remakes to be.
That's the thing. I just these live-action Disney Princess movies have not been that good. I didn't really like Beauty and the Beast. Lion King was terrible. The one I've liked the most is Jungle Book, but it did something different. And this looks like it's just going to be a straight rip of the original Little Mermaid. So if they do something different, I'm interested. If they don't, I'm not.
And also, like, it's been a very long time, admittedly, since I've seen Little Mermaid. But it wasn't... I don't think it's Disney's best work by a long stretch.
It's... the second one's better.
Yeah, but how bad does the first one have to be to say that it's direct-to-VHS sequel?
But I'd say that about The Lion King too, and so I know you would as well. Not to say King's bad, but Lion King 2 is better.
King is overrated.
I saw that on VHS at a Mills Market the other day.
Yeah,
$5.
Nice. Fuck, should have bought it.
The Blu-rays were $5. I don't understand.
Wait, there was a Blu-ray of the second movie?
No, there's a bunch of Blu-rays of other movies, and they were all $5, and there was this one VHS that was also $5.
Yeah, because all physical copies of shit are outdated at this point. There is just no point owning them.
Yeah, no, I know. Although, I guess we might talk about this if we talk about the stuff we're currently watching. I am rewatching Smallville with the... Michael Rosenbaum, Tom Welling, Smallville podcast watch through they're doing.
Yeah, nice.
That show, just on a quick side note, so horny.
Tried to sell it to me as a horny show before.
Well, it's a high school drama, right?
Yeah.
With the CW, it's got... I have watched it all before, so I knew this, but I like forgot the amount of times there's like, all right, there's a sorority house that he's got to infiltrate, but the sorority girls, they're all vampires, they're all sexy vampires, and they seduce you by getting in bikinis in a hot tub, and then there's so many like instances of people becoming horny because of like kryptonite infection, gets x-ray vision, and the first thing he does with it is looks through the wall into the girl's locker room. Bad. bad Clark. Not okay.
But, yeah.
Not okay. Yeah. Anyway, the MCU should be more horny is what I'm saying.
Look, because I think that's very much a symptom of being a CW show.
It's a CW show in the early 2000s. It's, you know, it very much is. But it's silly and overly sexualized. But it's also kind of fun. Like, you know, the vampire one was a bad example because that episode is fucking terrible and it's in the bad season.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point of all that was it was cheaper for me to buy the Blu-ray box set from the US and have it sent here than buy the seasons individually on digital.
Boo. Yeah,
and the Blu-rays are upscaled HD. And I don't know if the ones on Apple are HD for the early seasons or just standard definition.
Right, okay.
Anyway.
Who knows?
Tron something. I don't know.
It's a video game.
Is it a video game?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. I just saw it. I copied some of these. We can skip that because I don't give a fuck about Tron. Now,
and
this is something
nothing happens in it.
Yeah, it's just a logo. Something I am excited for, Cal, is Percy Jackson.
Okay.
Did you ever read these books?
No.
Ah, boo, Cal. Boo.
I watched the first movie, and apparently the second one's got Nathan Fillion in it, so I'm glad that exists.
The movies, well, I don't hate them because they are what introduced me to the books, are a very poor representation of what those books are.
Yeah, I think I've heard... I can't remember what the fucking YouTube channel is. That guy that does, like, he compares the movie as a, like, as he reviews it as if it was reviewing how well they translated the original material.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a terrible description, but he's one of those old, Channel Awesome people.
Yeah, he's, yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. He does good stuff. I remember watching his breakdown of Percy Jackson, because I was convinced that as a 20-something-ish-year-old man at that point, I was just never going to read those books.
Honestly, they hold up, I think. Probably.
Fair enough. And
I haven't read them in a while, but like...
As far as what books I do read goes, like, young adult urban fantasy is probably pretty high up there as a genre.
They're not... The later ones are young adult, the early ones are more kids.
Mm.
But... Yeah, like they're just fun. Like, you know, it's like a kid who finds out he's half demigod. This teaser doesn't show much, but what I will say is the look and the voice of Percy. When I say the look, I don't mean Percy himself. I mean the show looks and he sounds right. You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
For the tone of the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is great. I'm very excited because. I love Percy Jackson, and a show about it is perfect. Because, you know, as a fan of Harry Potter, it was always like, the movies are good, but this should be a show.
Yeah.
And the same rule applies to Percy Jackson.
That's fair enough.
I'll be interested to see how successful it is. Hopefully it's successful enough they keep it kind of going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very similar in setup, but it's... I don't know. It's kids going on like an adventure. It's basically a Kids on Bikes book, but
dealing with shit from the Odyssey.
Yeah, Greek gods and stuff. Yeah, tricks you into learning.
How dare they?
Very, very excited for Percy Jackson. It wasn't much in the trailer, so there's not much to say other than I love Percy Jackson. I'm very excited to see what this show is like. Rick Royden, the author, is like has a big role in its creation, so I think. Which he didn't have in the movies. So I think his, I think that's probably what's helping his voice come across.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyway, the Thunderbolts lineup.
Yeah, they actually revealed it, didn't they?
Yeah. Did you see who was on it?
So it's pretty much who you expect. It's like US Agent and Ghost and,
Red Guardian, Yelena. Winter Soldier was not a surprise. Was kind of a surprise in the respect that I was kind of surprised they were getting Sebastian Stan for like back, but it is kind of nice to know where he's going to be post the
Captain America show.
Yeah, the Captain America show. Someone who seems obvious was also what's their name? The person who steals other people's powers. What's that character called?
Taskmaster. Yeah, I wasn't expecting Taskmaster, particularly because of, like, what this character sort of is. Like, it does make sense that this is sort of a sequel to the Black Widow show.
Yeah.
This is the Black Widow movie. So it doesn't entirely surprise me that Yelena's here and that Taskmaster's involved, but I really wasn't expecting Taskmaster to have any sort of... like, to be in the lineup, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair. I've seen some people complain that they're all a bit samey as characters, which I kind of agree with, but also that's a bit the MCU.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's exactly what I was just going to say.
So, and also, like, Taskmaster, if they add some more variety to Taskmaster, will stand out from the others. And Ghost has an entirely different power set, so...
yeah, Ghost will be fun.
And we don't know if this will be the final lineup. I'm surprised Abomination isn't in this, but it also might be. They might not have put him in this particular reveal lineup for any number of reasons. We haven't seen the rest of She-Hulk yet, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean... I hope he gets to live happily ever after on his weird sex island. Or whatever the fuck he's doing.
Weird. Do you want the last bit of news I felt was relevant to bring up?
Yeah, let's go.
Are you familiar with High School Musical, the musical, the series?
No, never heard of it.
Yes, you have. Don't lie to me. they revealed the premise for season 4.
Okay.
Which they are confirming by, you know, doing so. Which was a shocker because season 2 ended with literally all the cast members turning to the screen and going, anyway, we really hope we don't get cancelled. Please don't cancel us.
Fair enough.
And then we got a season 3 and now they've confirmed season 4. It's weird because I thought season 1 of High School Musical, the musical, the series, was like, and I'm not even joking here, like, the best show on TV at that time. I was like, it was Game of Thrones and it was High School Musical, the musical, the series. Then season 2 was terrible. It was just so bad. I'm completely out. And then season 3, so far, has been bad but in a good way. So they've like, they're marrying the two. And then season 4 is going to be super meta. So season 4... So, you know, the premise of the show is that it's set in our world where all these characters know the movies High School Musical and they go to school at the school that was used to film High School Musical, and a musical of High School Musical is being put on at their school. That's the premise, right? You understand the premise.
I do now, I guess.
That's the premise of season 1. It really works and it really is snappy. Season 2 is the premise is that they're like, now they're putting on another show and it's Beauty and the Beast now. which is why it was like, this is weird and bad, I don't like it. But season 3 is like, they're on summer camp and they're doing Frozen. And I'm like, we're going silly and dumb. I appreciate it. Season 4...
summer camp.
Yeah.
Frozen. Okay.
Season 4, Cal. I'm building up to this. It better be good, right? Season 4.
Yep.
They're back at school and they're putting on a play for High School Musical 3. They're doing High School Musical 3, the movie, as a play. While in their school, they're filming the High School Musical 4 movie, which isn't a thing that exists.
Okay.
So potential...
until this season's done and then then it probably will exist.
Well, like, if the premise is that they're filming a High School Musical 4 reunion in the school while they're putting on their school musical play, are we getting Efron? Is he back? I mean, to know. Tisdale? Surely.
I could not tell you what Tisdale's doing. Could not tell you what...
I assume nothing.
What Efron's doing. I feel like Efron hasn't done very much.
He did that movie. I think it was an Aussie movie. It's like, I'm in the desert and it's hot and I'm burnt now. That movie. Anyway.
Sunburn.
Everything worth talking about from D23. What have you been watching, Cal? That's the Weekly Planet thing. I shouldn't say it like that. Cal, have you been using your eyeballs to view any television entertainment lately? And would you like
to
share
it
with me?
Definitely have not been doing.
Other than
it's listening to the Weekly Planet.
Fair enough.
No offense, Weekly Planet.
Well, funny enough, they took a break over August
because they know it's the worst month.
It is the worst month. And then there was anyway. Yeah, no, that's fine. I haven't really been listening to that much podcast. I've been listening to audiobooks and the Smallville podcast I mentioned earlier.
Fair enough. I have been on a bit of a, like, returning to my roots for television, going back to a bit more, like, syndicatable stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
After work, like, while eating dinner, my my sisters and I have been watching The Floor is Lava on Netflix.
Oh my god, that show.
Oh, it's so fun. So silly.
So dumb. Brianna and I watched, I think, the first season, and I tapped out, but yeah.
Because there's no reason to go on any further, but yeah, it's just a fun little time, and I love the concept. Like, as far as those, like, obstacle course shows go, it's a great one. Yeah, totally, but it's better than Wipeout.
It is, but, like, you know, you sit down with your fish and chips and you watch Wipeout or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, TV is, like, yeah, on a certain level, TV is for time killing, and that's a good time killing thing to have on in the background. Another thing I've been watching is Making Fun.
Okay,
I don't know if that's... Okay, so... This toy maker... So it's another, like, just... I suppose you'd call it a reality show, but, like, an actual reality show. Not, like, a fake reality show.
Yeah.
So he's a toy maker who quit his job because he didn't like working with kids. And Netflix came to him and said, hey, we want you to do a show where you, like, make shit on camera. So he agrees. And then the twist is that he has to make dumb shit the kids want him to make.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the first episode is the kid's like, I want a dinosaur that spits tacos out its mouth. So cute. He builds this, like, 6-foot-tall conveyor belt thing that shaped like a dinosaur that fires tacos out of it. And yeah, it's just really wholesome and nice, and the extended cast, like the other people who are making shit with him, are just really nice. It's just like, yeah, super wholesome. And like, he has this character of being a grumpy asshole, but you can tell he's having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have one more thing that I've been watching.
Oh yeah?
There's a K-drama called Alchemy of Souls.
Oh yeah.
And so far, I think it's a bit like political intrigue-y, like Game of Thrones-y, but it's mostly, so it's like the main, like, magical mechanic of the whole thing is body swapping. But it doesn't come up all that often. But it's basically, like, this master assassin is the main character, and she's on the run. And she swaps bodies with some random to try and get away. But when you swap bodies, it pretty much just condemns you. Like, there's a disconnection between your body and your soul, and you'll just eventually become a monster. Like, you'll you'll eventually have to, like, keep eating souls from other people to survive.
Can you, like, swap back to your body?
Yes. So, you know, the first few episodes are, like, her trying to get back to her body.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, it's pretty tense. And, like, there's this main kid who hasn't... So when he was born, his dad locked off his ability to do magic and fucked off. So part of the show is figuring out why the dad did that and how this kid's going to get his magic unlocked and be the protagonist of the show that the show is clearly telling us he's going to be.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, so there's some fun, like, magical stuff. There's some intense sort of, like, spy stuff. Like, it's Korean, so it's a bit hard to it's a bit hard to get into. But in, like, it seems like every 2 episodes is, like, a season's worth of stuff happens. Like, it is a breakneck pace.
Sounds it.
If you're gonna watch it, just, yeah, watch the first 2 episodes.
Okay.
Okay, you're at home. If you're going to watch it 2 episodes at a time. And they're, like, hour-long episodes, so just knock out 2 at a time. Because the shit I thought is going to take it, like, 30 episodes to get to, they do in, like, episode 2.
Interesting.
Like, it's like very, very intense.
I do like a show that moves at a clip.
Mm. And, like, that's what I'm enjoying the most about it. The first couple of episodes of Star Trek is all I've been watching lately. What about you, Sam?
Cool. Well, apart from the stuff I already mentioned, High School Musical, Smallville, Star Trek, Lower Decks is on at the moment. The main things I've been watching. So I started watching the new Lord of the Rings show. If you listen to the last two episodes of the podcast, I was very, very rude and harsh on that show. It, so far, I haven't watched episode 3 yet, so I'm only on episode 1 and 2, is great. It's really intriguing. Okay. The characters are really well done. I stand by the most expensive show ever made, really. But it does look pretty good. And apart from the first 5 minutes of the pilot, which are terrible, it's really, yeah, I really am enjoying it.
I also watched the first episode.
Oh.
So I am enjoying the stuff that they are laying out so far. The way the elves think of humans is interesting. The stuff that's happening with the hobbits is a bit, like, this could turn out to be the most interesting thing, but it also seems like the most, like, like the most archetypal sort of stuff.
How did that episode end? Remind me, spoilers.
The comet lands on the ground with a person in it.
Oh, yeah. Super interesting. Yeah, so I'm really liking that. I think maybe my low expectations helped, if I'm being honest. But yeah, we'll see where it goes. Probably
does.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued and yeah, I'm liking a lot of the characters and it's good. The other things I'm watching is I'm welcome that docu-series Welcome to Wrexham on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah.
It's about Ryan Reynolds and what's his name from Always Sunny buying the Wrexham Football Club in the UK.
Love it.
It's just pretty... I don't watch Premier League football. I used to, and I just find the sport very difficult to watch. It's just so many, like, playing for fouls. Like, I find football, like, European football, particularly the men's, very hard to watch. The women don't play for freeze as often. It just doesn't happen as much. It's much more... The sport is much more interesting to watch. But I do love the, like, politics and the drama of the league. So I find docuseries on it really engaging. Because I also really liked Sunderland Until I Die, which was a Netflix series about the football club Sunderland that they got relegated from the Premier League to the Championship. And then it was they made a docuseries following their attempts to get back into the Premier League in the next season. And that was great because not only did they not get back to the Premier League, they got relegated again. Just fucking so funny. Anyway, are you asleep?
A little bit, but yeah. You let me crap on about a K-drama, so I'm not going to shut you up.
Fair enough. And the one other show that I will mention I'm watching is called The Bear. I haven't finished yet, but it's on Disney Plus as well in Australia. And it is, have you seen it?
No.
It's just a drama, TV drama about this guy who he went to a really like posh, fancy culinary school, became like one of those proper fancy, like Michelin chef kind of things.
Right.
And then his brother dies. So he goes back and takes over, and his brother leaves him his sandwich shop in Chicago. So he goes back and runs this sandwich shop. And it's just the politics of that place, him trying to keep the store above water, the dealings with his cousin who works there and the other members of the, you know, culinary staff that work there. And it's just a drama. It's just a drama about people. But it's really well acted, and it's really interesting.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I haven't watched any just dramas in quite a long time.
Yeah,
like just shows about people without without an edge to it. Like as I say, an edge. This show's got edge to it, but without like a
yes,
it's outside kind of like without genre. Because I love genre and I watch a lot of genre TV and movies. But it has been a while since I watched just a clean drama, and it's a really good one. I actually highly recommend watching it. At least the episodes I've seen. I've seen 4 or 5.
Yeah, fair enough.
Might end horribly. I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
I guess we will. Movies real quick. We watched Nope.
Oh, yes, we did.
And that was really good.
I think we'll probably come back to that and do a Jordan Peele episode at some point.
I would like to do a Jordan Peele episode. I think that would be fun. I'd like an excuse to rewatch Get Out and Us. I watched Get Out a couple of times. I only watched Us the once, so I'd be interested to see how that movie has kind of, how I feel, because I didn't love it coming out of the cinema. I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I wonder how my experience watching it will be coloured by the knowing the twist.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I don't... Like, because I've heard that basically each movie gets worse. But I felt pretty good about Nope, so...
I thought Nope was weird. It's weirder than... Not really. I don't know. I wouldn't say it was worse than Us. Very different to Us. I think Get Out is still his best movie.
I think they, like, at least the two that I've seen, both shine for having a horror director who knows comedy.
Yeah, and Us is like, no different.
Us, like, is it just... It seems like these are still the kind of movies that you couldn't really do with just any old horror director. Like, you'd need to have somebody with Jordan Peele's chops.
Yeah, Us is a really, like, without spoiling it, Do you know much about it?
It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers kind of thing, isn't it?
Kinda. It is its premise though that kind of undoes it. It's such a well executed like thriller slasher that has a slightly overly complex premise. That gets over-explained.
Yeah. Yeah, that is always annoying when you have to explain too much shit.
To its detriment.
Which and is like, partly what I don't like about shit like Tenet.
Well, and what I liked about Nope. Nope didn't over-explain the creature. Spoilers. Whoops. it didn't... And I think I need to rewatch Us without the expecting just a straight slasher lens that I probably had the first time.
Right, okay.
To watch it more for the themes it's trying to share, because Nope is just all theme. Like, it's theme explored through character reacting to environment. And it's really well done in that regard, without kind of spoiling stuff. But the stuff with the monkey, like, it seems irrelevant. But all of it is exploration of the theme, which is, you know, which is interpretable, I think, in that movie in particular. Through the characters and the environment. And I liked it. And well performed. It looked great. I was a fan. A little slow at times. Could have maybe had a tighter edit, but it's pretty minor criticism, really.
Because of that, the B plot, I guess you call it the B plot, like the stuff with the monkey, really feels like it had no place being there because it only tied back to the theme. Like, it didn't tie back to the rest of the story.
Yeah. But I kind of liked that.
Yeah, but it almost made me could have dealt with being a bit weirder. Like, throw in a couple more of those and it would have had like this incoherence to it.
I know what you mean. But you know what, though, I will say is that has been done to the point it feels like its own kind of thing. Yeah. The fact that this was like a short film inside a feature film, I kind of liked, because I haven't seen that exactly. Because you're right, you've seen the cutaway to weird things throughout the movie. Very Wes Anderson. But I haven't seen the short film within a film. I'm sure it exists. I don't know.
I don't think it necessarily would have made the film better, but I think either cutting it or extending it would have helped it feel a bit more
possibly
whole in a more traditional movie-making sense. Not that it had to be, and I think the movie's totally fine with
and
it
I
in.
I think Jordan Peele's intention was to not make it like a traditional movie.
Yeah, absolutely. We are at about an hour 10.
Yeah, I just want to quickly touch on another two movies that we haven't spoken about, but I did see Black Phone.
Okay, I don't know anything about that.
It's based on a Joe Hill short story, Joe Hill being Stephen King's son.
Right, okay.
Who also writes fucking intense psychological thriller horror books.
Excellent.
Black Phone's about this kid who gets abducted by this serial abductor. Keeps abducting kids throughout this, you know, town.
Okay.
And as with Stephen King, like, you know, as with his dad, it's a kid who has something special about him, right? Him and his sister, they have something special about him. I don't know if this was in the book, but I assume it was. So this phone on the wall that is disconnected will ring, and he can talk to people through it. But then, they're the only people he talks to. When I say he, it means the previous victims of the serial abductors can talk to him through the phone.
Can talk to the kid,
like the kids who were abducted. Prior can talk to the kid who's currently trapped.
Right. Okay.
I didn't explain that very well.
No, that's interesting though.
It's a very Stephen King premise. Joe Hill writes very, you know, similarly to his dad, but equally as well, based on what I've seen, and I quite liked it. It's got Ethan Hawke in it. Okay. It's just it's really well done. It's got a couple of good scares that are earned. Kind of reminded me of the first It as far as my enjoyment of it. Even though it's not the same, really, as far as story goes.
Yeah, but I get that.
I also saw Bullet Train, which I was not keen on. I thought it looked terrible, but it was really good. I need to see it again, though, because I saw it in a fucking awful cinema. People vaping, everyone on their fucking phones, teenagers behind us, like 10 people in 5 chairs.
Yeah.
Shocking. Like, to the point where I'm like, I want to tell these people, you know me, I'll tell someone to get off their phone. Do I just stand up and tell the whole cinema to just pull their fucking neck in?
You probably should have just left at that point and just gone, hey, look, there's people vaping in there, they're talking, like, it's just shit. Can I just have my money back and book me in for next week's session?
Probably should have, but what are you going to do?
It sucks because that would be punishing the staff, and that's not their fault.
Yeah.
And besides, the security probably should have come in and gone, shut the fuck up.
Should have told them that, should have told the staff that that was happening. But fuck, again, I'm like, I'm going to go tell this fucking 16-year-old at the front that, like, to come and tell people to be quiet. Just not cool.
Yeah. And it's like, I guess it isn't the type of movie I would expect that sort of behavior in.
There's just kids like shouting stuff at the screen. Like, just shut up. If you're in the cinema, shut the fuck up. Anyway, we can wrap this up. Tweet us at Video Shop Pod.
Yeah. What did you think of this scatter shot format?
What should we do? What should we do for next week's episode?
Star
Trek Next Generation?
No, I'm not spending that much time on it.
We can just talk about how bad the pilot is.
Fuck, it's so bad. That's all that needs to be said. If you're gonna go back, like, because I was like, I want to watch the first episode because I want to see, like, how these characters meet, if they do, how they introduce them, and quite frankly, it's really bad.
It's like, bad, yeah.
It seems like they're setting up Riker as, like, the sort of point of view character, but not until the second episode of the two-parter. And it seems like they set up the security person. I can't remember her name.
Tasha, yeah.
Yeah. Is she... I don't remember her being that big a character in the rest of the show. Not that I've seen all that much of it.
But she plays some major roles.
Yeah. It feels like they sort of set her up as this, like... like, the edgier of the moral backbone characters.
Yeah, I don't think she was particularly enjoyed by fans, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, because I really liked... she was one of the best bits of that episode to me. But yeah, anyway, I didn't mean to go down another rabbit hole. But
no, that's all right. What's nice about Next Generation is it's pretty insular each episode. Because, like you were saying, it's designed for syndication. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Star Trek Deep Space Nine is the best of Star Trek because it's a mix of syndication and serialization. And it didn't do well on TV at the time because in the 90s, while you're a syndicated show, you can't have running plot threads so much.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. I think there are some, yeah, there are some cracking episodes that I'm definitely excited for you to see, Cal.
Yeah, no, that's good. And yeah, maybe we'll come back and talk about some of the more choice ones.
I'd be okay to do that. Yeah, talk about some highlights.
Yeah. Q. All right, well, yeah, tweet us at Video Shop Pod. What do you want us to talk about? And what have you been watching? And I don't know, does anything actually come out anytime soon?
Probably. I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. Something big. I think in a couple of weeks, Jodie Whittaker's final episode's coming out.
Yeah. And we were going to talk about the other Peter Cushing movie at some point, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were going to do a Bernard Cribbs episode.
Because
he died. So maybe we'll do that next week. We'll watch Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Mm. And we'll go back and watch the...
watch some of the...
10th Doctor stories and...
some of his
episodes. I don't know what else he's done.
I'm sure he's done lots of stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah. Tweet us at Video Shop Pod and we'll see you next.